Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I thank God for this blessed day. I thank God for so many things that have taken place today, and I hope you've given praises to God also. Given praises for any circumstance that you may be in, count it all joy. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning me. So we are to rejoice, for this is a season of time of the year where we focus our attention on our Savior, Jesus Christ. And for those who may not know him, we extend the gospel to them that they will come to know him in the pardoning of their sins. It says in Isaiah 9, a child has been born for us. We have been given a son who will be our ruler. His name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His power will never end. And we are going to focus on this particular book, Isaiah 9, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1. And we are going to do quite a bit of movement today in our scriptures. So I pray, brothers and sisters, that you come ready, hungry, ready, willing, and able to use your Bibles like a sword, to allow your Bible to just breathe upon your heart as we move through these passages today. And we are going to look at our lesson. And the title to this teaching track is Jesus Christ is Coming to Town. Just as beautiful and simple as that, Jesus Christ is coming to town. Now, I have a little story. And how did I come up with this title today? Certainly, it was the Holy Spirit who revealed this lesson to me today. And he always focuses my attention on who we should always be focused on, and that is Jesus himself. And I heard a song today playing on the radio. Now, we know this is a time of year where lights are flickering, Christmas trees are in every living room or where they can be seen in your bay window of your formal dining room. So for those of us who have Christmas trees, we let our lights so shine. But this is a season and a time of year where we have focused our attention on the gift-giving, the reason for the season, Jesus. And when I heard that song played on the radio, it happened to be a song that was being sung by a famous artist, and a lot of us may know who he is, and his name is Michael Jackson. Now, we've heard several renditions of this particular song. And the song, of course, is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Now, we've heard the song played over and over and over the time of our life. And maybe the youngsters, maybe our grandbabies, and are hearing this song for the first time as they come to recognize this particular season. But when I heard the song and I reflected on who I should be reflecting on, and that is Jesus himself, I have tendencies to allow the beat to resonate in my mind, but I change the lyrics to glorify our Father in heaven. And I thank God that I have an ability to be able to do that. Now, I'm not a singer by any talent or gift, but I did do it for this particular song. And that is so that God will get the glory, that my mind will stay on who truly is the reason for this particular time and season, and that is no other than Jesus Christ. So I heard that song, and I placed Jesus Christ is coming to town. Now, if you get that jingle in your mind and you sing the song, replace the word Santa Claus with Jesus Christ is coming to town. So that is the title of this message. And as you prepare your pencils, your paper, and your Bible, whether it be your tablet, your phone, please prepare your heart to know and receive the true gift that keeps on giving. And that is the title of our lesson, Jesus Christ is Coming to Town. So before we get started, if you would touch and agree with me in prayer, and let's lift up the name of Jesus in prayer. Lord God, we just want to bless you today. We want to prepare ourselves to receive your gift. The gift truly keeps giving. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy upon our lives. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sin through the blood shed of Jesus Christ. Lord, now we come ready, we come hungry, we come thirsty to the banquet table of the King Most High to receive a rhema word from you showing us the beautiful story of Jesus Christ who is coming to town. We bless you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord, because you are the maker of heaven and earth. You are the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. And we thank you for what you've done, what you're doing through this broadcast, and what you are going to do as you touch and breathe on hearts today who may not know you as they come to know you. In the pardoning of their sins, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. And I thank you for praying with me as we lift up the name of Jesus in this particular lesson. So, as I indicated in my intro, the song perked my mind, it perked my heart, but it led me to look up, not to the side, left or right, not forward, but it perked me to look up and focus my attention on Jesus. So let's look at the book of Isaiah. Now, before we get to the book of Isaiah, pin these points down on paper, if you will. My 3 points for today's lesson is point one, Jesus is coming, prophesied. That's point one. Jesus is coming, prophesied. Point two, Jesus came, personified. Point two, Jesus came, personified. And the last point, three, Jesus comes again, glorified. Jesus comes again, glorified. So the 3 points are Jesus is coming, Jesus came, Jesus comes again. And when we look at that, Jesus prophesied, Jesus personified, and Jesus glorified. Amen. So I hope you've written those points down and leave room for verses in Scripture and leave room for notes that the Holy Spirit reveals to you that you can study in depth at your private study time. So let's go to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to read quite a bit of passage in today's lesson because I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to connect the dots for you and reveal to you the 3 points as we know Jesus Christ is coming to town. So in Isaiah, turn to the book chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to start with verse 1. And I'm going to read this. Let's do this. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. Let's back this up so we can have a broad understanding of why we're reading and focusing on Isaiah chapter 9. So let's go back to chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 9. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 9. And I'm going to read this in the CEV, which is the Contemporary English Version. Contemporary English Version, but you follow along in your translation and read it in your translation and listen to it in the translation I'm reading. So Isaiah chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 9. All of you foreign nations, go ahead and prepare for war. But you will be crushed together and make plans, but you will fail because God is with us. The Lord took hold of me with his powerful hand and said, I'm warning you. Don't act like these people. Don't call something a rebellious plot just because they do. And don't be afraid of something just because they are. I am the one you should fear and respect. I am the holy God, the Lord all-powerful. Run to me for protection. I am a rock that will make both Judah and Israel stumble and break their bones. I am a trap that will catch the people of Jerusalem. They will be captured and dragged away. My message and my teachings are to be sealed and given to my followers. Meanwhile, I patiently trust the Lord, even though he is no longer pleased with Israel. Now, this is the prophet Isaiah writing. My children and I are warning signs to Israel from the Lord all-powerful, who lives on Mount Zion. Someone may say to you, go to the fortune tellers, who make soft, cripping sounds, or ask the spirits of the dead. After all, a nation ought to be able to ask its own gods what it should do. None of these who talk like that will live to see the light of day. They will go around in great pain. Some translations may say distress. And will become so hungry that they will angrily curse their king and their God. And when they try to find help in heaven and on earth, they will find only trouble and darkness, terrible trouble and deepest darkness. Now this leads us into verse 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. But those who have suffered will no longer be in distress. or pain. The territories of Zebulon, Naphtali in Galilee were once hated, but this land of the Gentiles across the Jordan River and along the Mediterranean Sea will be greatly respected. This particular verse, verse 1, I want you to circle it or underline, because what we're looking at is Jesus is coming prophesied. So let's move to verse 2. Those who walk in the dark have seen a bright light, and it shines upon everyone who lives in the land of darkest shadows. Let's stop there, and let's move to verse 6. And in verse 6, I'm going to read it now in the New King James Translation. And it reads this way: For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. And then verse 7, his power will never end. Peace will last forever. He will rule David's kingdom and make it grow strong. He will always rule with honesty and justice. The Lord All-powerful will make certain that all of this is done. This is a prophecy by the prophet Isaiah of a child has been born, the birth of the Prince of Peace. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, ever forever, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I love the way it reads in the New Living Translation. It says in verse 7, the New Living Translation, it says, his ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. The passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. I love the way it translates, will guarantee this. The Lord Almighty will make certain that all of this is done. He will always rule with honesty and justice, or some translations say fairness and justice, or one translation may say with upholding with justice and righteousness. This prophecy of a child whose name will be Wonderful Counselor, everlasting Father, mighty God, Prince of Peace, was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3, 15. Genesis 3, 15. And let's read with what it says in that particular passage. Verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. I will put enmity. And so this, again, is prophecy indicating that a child has been born, that a child has came. Jesus is coming. Jesus came. And even in the book of Genesis, it indicates, well before the prophet of Isaiah indicating, God stated and shows us that, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Now, this is God in verse 14 of Genesis 3. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this. He's talking to the serpent, which is illustrating Satan in the garden when he tempted the woman and the man, Adam and Eve, and God reckoned with him and indicated, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. You will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity. And he used Jesus on the cross to crush his head. Satan thought he had him when he was hanging on the cross. But when he got up out of the grave in his glorified body, his resurrected body, Satan lost the battle. We'll look at more of that when we move through our next 2 points. But I want us to see how God revealed to us Jesus in Genesis, as well as through the prophets, penned by Isaiah in verse 6 of chapter 9, a child, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that just resonates power to me. Because of the power of God and who he is, when he told Moses to go to Pharaoh in Egypt and tell him, I am sent him to let his people go. That is power, a God who has all power in his hand. and for him to reveal to us, prophesied, Jesus is coming, and penned by the prophet Isaiah. And in other passages in the Old Testament, that Jesus is coming. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4 in the New Testament. Matthew 4, and we're going to start at verse 12. And it reads, when Jesus heard, now keep in mind, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is coming out of a time of temptation. And he had been tempted by Satan prior to the verse we're going to look at. And the devil fled in verse 11 of chapter 4. And then in verse 12, we're looking at when Jesus begins his ministry. And although we looked at how Jesus was prophesied, or he was, it was prophesied that Jesus is coming. We saw that in Isaiah. I wanted to move fast forward and look at what it said in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 9 and how it states it in verse 15 in Matthew chapter 4. So we're going to start at verse 12, and if you would follow along, it's just to show a cross-reference of what was prophesied and now in the Gospel of Matthew, how it is stated again. And let's start at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, talking about John the Baptist, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Now, go back to Isaiah, and let's read, for the benefit of cross-referencing and knowing with what was fulfilled, according to verse 14 in Matthew 4. Isaiah 9, and it says, verse 1, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee to the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Now let's go back to verse four, chapter 4, verse 14 in the book of Matthew. But keep your finger on Isaiah chapter 9. And we read in Isaiah 9 how it talked about Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. This is where Jesus is, in that same location. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. And verse 14, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. And verse 15, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light was dawned. In the King James translation, verse 16, it says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Light has shined. And that's what was prophesied in the book of Isaiah chapter 9. And penned again by Matthew in the Gospel chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. And 17 says, from that time, I'm in Matthew chapter 4, 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I wanted to show the cross-reference of the two, and two different times, and Matthew writing, Jesus stating, and it was revealed or prophesied Isaiah. Jesus is coming. And of course, in Isaiah, a few verses down, it indicates in verse 6, for unto us a child is born. Amen. We will come back to this verse in Matthew 4, and we will continue to read out of that particular chapter. Now, I hope this makes sense to you as it does me. If we allow the Holy Spirit to do his great work within us, to open our eyes to the nuggets, to the nuggets that he reveals through the pages of the Bible, and have a mind to see, and an eye to see, and a heart to receive. Jesus is coming, prophesied. Now, prophesied, and this was the first point. Let's look at point two, since we've read Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17, that brings us into our second point. Now, for those who may have tuned into the broadcast, of course, our lesson today is Jesus Christ is coming to town. And our first point was Jesus is coming, prophesied. Second point, Jesus came, personified. And our third point is Jesus comes again, glorified. So, the second point, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. Mark Isaiah, put a little bookmark there because we will be coming back and forth. But now that we're on our second point, we're going to look at Jesus came. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1. So move your pages back a few, and we're going to read Jesus came personified. Now, for the benefit of understanding the word personified, P-E-R-S-O-N-I-F-I-E-D, personified. Personified means to be the perfect example of a person who has a particular quality. Personified, to be the perfect example of a person who has a particular quality. Incarnation of Jesus Christ, having a human body. Jesus came personified. He has a particular quality. He is the incarnation. He is taken on or has taken on human form. He being God, taken on human form, incarnation, wrapped himself in flesh and took on human form. Having a human body is the incarnation, born of a virgin. So let's look at Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read starting with verse 18. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, some translations may say being a just man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her," that's the incarnation, "what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Now let's look at that name, Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. The Greek form of Joshua, or Joshua, which means the Lord saves, because he will save his people from their sins. Amen. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Now keep in mind, we're in Matthew chapter 1, and here it has been penned by Matthew in the gospel concerning what was said through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Let's look at that word or name, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, we know that that means God with us. Translated, God with us. Verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And we know that name to mean the Lord saves. Now we're going to look at verse 2, so we'll keep reading. Chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Now, the word Christ, or the name Christ, means Messiah, was to be born in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Now look at verse 6, and here the Magi are stating what the prophet has written, just as we read what the prophet had stated in verse 22 of chapter 1 in Matthew. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And then we look at what the Magi, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Verse 6, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Now we read this in the book of Isaiah. And let's flip back to that just so that it would be plain to us as we study the prophecy of Jesus coming and how it indicates here he came. He came as a little bitty baby, God himself, incarnate, took on the form of a human body in the womb of a virgin. And he is the perfect example of a person who has a lot of particular quality. And we know that quality was, he was fully man and fully God. And we see this in stated in verse 6. So let's look at Isaiah and verse 7. States in verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9, it indicates, I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, his ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. Verse 7 in Isaiah 9, and it states in here, Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, it says, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. So we're going to drop down because the next few verses talks about the King Herod and the Magi secretly going to go see the child. And we're going to drop down to verse 8. He sent them to Bethlehem, King Herod, and said, go, make a careful search for the child. So as soon as you find them, report to me so that I too might go and worship him. Now, we know that King Herod has no good in his soul. He's a wicked and evil king, jealous, and he wanted to use the Magi to bring Jesus or bring the child or bring him to the child. He plotted. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. How many of us become overjoyed when we hear the name Jesus? Now, if you remember my story concerning the title came out of a song jingled to Santa Claus. And when I heard that jingle sang by a familiar artist, I refused to glorify Santa Claus because, as I've been taught, this is not the season or the reason for a Santa Claus. And I chose to sing that jingle to glorify Jesus Christ. And so this is what kept me joyful. I was overjoyed when that one jingle focused my attention on who the real reason for this time of year, this season that we celebrate. So when I became overjoyed, I started worshiping him by the melodies of my heart, by the fruit of my lips. And this is what the Magi did. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. How many times do we give gifts to our Lord and Savior? As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a child of light, Christmas is every single day. A day should not pass where we give our best to the Lord our God, whether it be our treasures, our talents, our money, our heart, mind, soul, and our strength. We surrender it all to him. We hold nothing with a tight fist. We hold it with an open hand. Our children, our spouses, our relationships, our friendships. The Magi brought him gifts. And we are to be glorified. we are to be grateful as we glorify him because he, God, gave us the one true gift, and that is Jesus. He came as a little bitty baby, prophesied it, and now they see the prophecy that came in a manger, born of a virgin, the incarnation, God wrapped flesh, coming through the birth canal of a woman to walk this earth and start a ministry of promise, a ministry of grace, mercy, a ministry of faithfulness, a ministry of love, thy neighbor as thyself. So they worshiped him. They gave to him frankincense, gold, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, God provided them a way out. They returned to their country by another route. God will provide us a way out. When we find ourselves in a jam, when we find ourselves in a predicament, when we find ourselves locked up in a situation, when we look up, we're no longer locked up. We are unlocked. And he provides us a way out. This is the God we serve, who promised in the book of Genesis. And he revealed by coming as a little bitty baby. Let's look at chapter 4 again, and we're going to look at verse 12 in the book of Matthew. Now, this is just the revelation of Jesus who came through the womb of a virgin. We're going to pick back up in chapter 4, but we're going to start at 17. So if we would go back to chapter 4 in Matthew, and we're going to pick up reading in chapter and verse 17. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. 18, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. More prophecy of the little bitty baby who came, personified the incarnation of God in human form, Jesus. And we will look at 4. Now, as Jesus was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, he grew into a man. We know the story. But now it came to a time of him in chapter 4 of Matthew to be tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And when he came out of that temptation, he began his ministry. Jesus walked the earth. And he began his ministry in verse 12 of Matthew. Read with me. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned, or light has shined. Then he started calling his disciples. Jesus began to preach. Now, I like to look at this as us. When we called by God, we had a purpose, and he has a plan for us. When we were fashioned in our mother's womb, he had a plan. When we were little bitty babies, he gave us gifts and talents that we were to use to glorify him, to give back to him, God Almighty. And when we became babies, we grew just as Jesus, and we walked just as Jesus did. And we were to grow and become children of light. And when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, some as young toddlers and some as old as seniors, but when we became born again, we are to work out our soul's salvation, and we are to minister as Jesus exemplified to us. Yes, we will be tempted, but remember, he provides us a way out. He did it for Mary and Joseph. He did it for the Magi. He does it for us. Yes, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Thou art with us. Nothing or no one can pluck us out of God's hand. He provides us a way out. Yes, we will be tempted, but he provides a way out when we call on the name of Jesus. And when we minister in the way, in the beautiful way that he gives you and me, when we walk in our calling, when we start exercising our spiritual gifts, when we start preaching and teaching and leading others to Christ, when we start ministering, lifting up the name of Jesus, he will draw all men into him. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his mouthpiece. We have been called. He has a purpose for us. According to Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Hope and a future is what God has for us. Just as Jesus demonstrated this when he started his ministry. He called the disciples to follow him. Lay down your nets and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. They didn't hesitate. They immediately left their nets. Immediately left their nets and followed him. Do we follow him when he says, come, We will continue this lesson on next week and close this lesson out with point 3. Jesus comes again, glorified. I pray and hope that the first 2 points resonated in your heart, resonated in your mind to help you see that Jesus is coming. It was prophesied. Jesus came. He walked on this earth. He lived. He died. And he rose again. And we will pick up in where we've left off today, and we will pick up with point 2, concluding it, and we will complete this teaching track on next week on our last point. I tell you, this has been such a blessing. And I pray right now, if you would, brothers and sisters, for those who may not know Jesus personally, intimately, one with him. So if we could pray right now that somebody come to know him, and this is what this ministry does, extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only do we expose it and expound on it, we extend it through the World Wide Web. And I pray that you would partner with me in prayer as we lift up those that we know in our personal circle of influence, maybe right in our family, that we know that they have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lift them up in prayer. And for those of you who may be listening to this broadcast, I pray that you would bow your head and humble your heart right now as we pray a prayer of salvation. Lord God, I love you. Lord God, I need you. For you are my all and all. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my God, as my Savior. Forgive me, for I have sinned, for I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. I surrender my life to you. I believe that you died for my sin. You covered me with your blood. Thank you. I believe by faith that you will receive me as your child. I need a Savior. Lord, come into my heart and reign and be the sit on the throne of my heart. Forgive me for my sins. I thank you for your grace, your saving grace. I receive you as my Lord because you loved me first. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for praying with me. And I pray that those who may have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, welcome to the family of God. And you are a born-again Christian. And I pray that you get in a Bible-teaching church, a church that will teach you doctrinal truths, that you would get in a small group, that you would be discipled as Jesus called his disciples, that he will make you a fisher of men, so that you would grow and go in grace. And I just thank you, brothers and sisters, for partnering with me as we pray for those that we know and lifting them up to receive salvation, to receive the Holy Spirit as their guide, and that they would grow and go too. Continue to pray for them. Never give up on them. Jesus did not give up on you. So we will continue to pick up with this lesson, Jesus Christ is coming to town, on next week. Always remember, the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away. But we know that the word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless and thank you.